The teachings of General Conference are the considerations the Lord would have before us now and in the months ahead.
Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses.
For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works and be referred to frequently.
I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein.
I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months.
You're listening to the Conference Talk Podcast, where it's conference weekend every weekend. Each weekend, we discuss talks from the most recent General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
That's right. We'll share some insights, make some connections, and have a bit of fun as we study the words of the awesome men and women that God has called to direct His church in the latter days. I'm Shelby Stanfill.
And I am Kevin Stanfill. This episode, we're talking about Elder Yoon Hwan Choi's address, Do You Want to Be Happy?
And that title is very intriguing because I think we all want to be happy. And this is one of those talks that could get overlooked, but before we jump into the talk, since Elder Choi, I'm just going to say Elder Choi, is not a well-known 70, I guess, at least I didn't know, we wanted to give you a little background on him. He was born in 1957, so that would make him 66 years old. And he married his wife in 1982, and they have three children.
He also completed his bachelor's degree at BYU Hawaii in 1988. And then, about 11 years later, in 1989.
1 year later.
Oh, excuse me. And then very shortly after, received his master's degree in business, information systems, and education from Utah State University. So, well-educated man. He's served in a number of church callings, including a full-time missionary in the Busan, Korea, and Seoul, Korea missions. Also a counselor in the bishopric, a bishop, high counselor, stake mission president. Oh, that's interesting. We're reading off of the church website. I think it's saying stake mission president, but maybe a stake president and a missions president? Or...
Yeah, not sure. Maybe that's a thing, but I think it would...
Possibly a typo?
Possibly, but I would say probably state president / mission president, because later down in his bio it says he served as president of the Washington-Seattle mission and president of the Asia North area. So, we'll go with that.
Needless to say, a very well-educated and well-seasoned man, priesthood holder in the church.
Yeah.
And so... we are excited to learn from his teachings today.
So before we begin, I just have to share a little personal story. Kevin and I, when we started dating, I had, at this point in my life, I was prompted and told to go on several dates with many different type of men that I probably wouldn't even consider going on dates with, but to go on these dates. And so I was on this track of going on dates with all different types of guys, and they were all great and they were awesome, but the only one that I really connected with, like, immediately was Kevin. Great conversation. And he just seemed so happy to me. And I thought there had to be something wrong with him, right? I just was like, why is this guy so happy? And I really wanted to know what it was that made him so happy. And yes, we're members of the church and I understood that the gospel will make you happy, but I was like really trying to pry him and figure out what was going on. So it was our third date and we went to Mod Pizza and we sat down and I looked at him and I started interrogating him. Like, we hadn't even eaten our pizza yet, I don't think. And I looked across the table and I said, Kevin, why are you so happy? And he just had the biggest smile on his face and he proceeded to, I think at first you were like, what do you mean? And I was like, you're just happy. Why are you so happy? And so it made me think of this talk, or this story made me think of the talk and vice versa as we were studying, because it was a very fun question I asked him when we first started dating.
Yeah, from my point of view, it was a pretty Like when she says interrogated, I felt like put on the spot. And I was like, oh, she thinks I'm faking it. You know, she wants to figure out, like, because I think I had even said in previous conversations, like, you know, oh, this is as good as it gets. You know, we're in the greatest time to be alive. Like all these, like, kind of probably cliche things.
Yeah.
But, you know, most of why I believed that and still believe it is that certainly my perspective and my experiences. And I know that we, especially we in the United States, in the latter days, this time in history, we have so many blessings available, so many resources and opportunities available to us. But truly, that perspective comes from my experiences with the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that we have a purpose here on earth, that we came to this earth at this time for a reason. And so there are many things to be happy about. And, you know, what Elder Choi talks about, you know, initially in his talk is how adhering to the covenant path brings happiness. And he quotes Elder Dale G. Rinlin here at the very beginning, saying, quote, "The term covenant path refers to a series of covenants whereby we come to Christ and connect to him." In the quote there, though there's more. And, you know, when we're able to come into Christ through covenants and ordinances, you know, learning his ways, learning to walk in his ways, we gain a greater perspective, because that's actually the point of commandments, as I've learned from Elder Christofferson. The purpose of commandments is to allow us to have that perspective, God's perspective. And, you know, it's not always clear why we do things. And then we do them, and it seems to be clear that this is the way to do it, right? So the covenant path, for me, has always been, yes, it's walk by faith until I know of a certainty that this is the path that I need to be on. And that assurance certainly has led to my personal happiness throughout my life thus far.
So that is why he's so happy.
In a roundabout kind of way.
But really, I appreciate that you sharing that. And I also, it reminds me on our podcast that we do, the Book of Mormon podcast, we're in 3rd Nephi right now, and we did 3rd Nephi chapter 11 with our favorite institute teacher, Brother Richens. And he shared in 3rd Nephi 11 that one of the first things that Christ invites us to do is to come unto him and to covenant with him through baptism. And that's what he's doing. He's trying to create this covenant relationship. And through this covenant relationship, we find the most peace and happiness. So as we are on the covenant path, there's a story that Elder Choi shared here. And I'm just going to quote the end of it. But he felt prompted, this return missionary felt prompted to basically come back to church and get on the covenant path. And he said, "Although I still struggle, I do have a testimony in our Savior, and through my obedience, I can feel and find the peace I'm looking for in my heart and mind." And isn't that where we need peace the most, right? Our thoughts, which our thoughts become our actions, and we just need to make sure that we can find that peace and that happiness, even if it's a temporal happiness, right? In some ways, but really we're finding that everlasting peace and happiness. And so I really do think that through this covenant relationship, that's where that peace comes into play, is through his covenants.
Well, in that story that Elder Choi shares about this returned missionary, you know, it's a letter or a message that he receives from this returned missionary. And he talks about how, quote, "The last while has been tough, battling anxiety and depression every day." And he's just been talking about, you know, praying for the guidance of Heavenly Father for peace and comfort. And then he's prompted to follow a commandment, to pay his tithing. And he feels like if he pays his tithing, everything will be okay. Okay? And then he ends that message with, I've recently decided to come back to church. So, you know, this is an example of someone who they kind of got off the covenant path. Apparently, they were not paying their tithing, or if they were, they had some reservations about doing it, right? Because they needed that little prompting, that urging from the Spirit. And then he talks about how he's decided to come back. So certainly we can infer that there was a lapse of church attendance. And it is oftentimes the, you know, stepping off the covenant path that brings unhappiness to our lives. I'm not saying, just as a disclaimer, that the reason that you or someone you know suffers from depression or anxiety is because they're not living the covenant path, right, or the commandments. But certainly, if you struggle with those things, I think the worst thing that you could do is to stop making that effort to stay connected with God and Jesus Christ. And especially if you have found peace there before, because you know the power and you know the reality of the promises. And so as you distance yourself from them, not only do you suffer the severance of the Holy Ghost, but you also know in your heart that you're doing something wrong. And that can certainly lead to an increase in anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And just think about it. When you enter into like a contract or some type of relationship with somebody and they're keeping promises to you and you're keeping promises to them, it generally is a pretty happy relationship, right? Mm-hmm. While there may be trial, the mutual respect is there. And I think that's what he's getting at here, is that when we keep commandments, we are more prone to feel that peace and to feel the Holy Ghost in our life, which leads to that feeling of happiness, despite whatever may be going on around us. And I really like this quote that he quotes President Thomas S. Monson and says, when we keep the commandments, our lives will be happier, more fulfilling, and less complicated. And I think that term, less complicated, rings so true, because commandments bring order to our life. And we know God is a God of order, and order is good. Some people will try to say that order is not good, but order keeps us safe. Order keeps us in the place where we need to be, becoming who we need to be. And it does make things less complicated, because when you go outside of that order, you're prone to many diverse ways of other ways of living, thinking, whatever it may be. And while they may bring temporal happiness, like I talked about earlier, we are still supposed to be searching for that everlasting happiness.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to add that on there.
Well, and I'd like to offer a little bit of, and this is like playing devil's advocate, if you will, to something that President Nelson says, you know, by way of quoting him, Elder Troy, he references President Nelson's talk, Overcome the World and Find Rest, from October 2022. And I believe that was probably the same reference that you had from President Nelson as well, but
Mine was actually from Thomas S. Monson.
Oh, okay.
And it was Keep the Commandments. It was a Liahona article. Okay.
I thought I heard Nelson in there.
Sorry.
But it was Monson. But President Nelson says, keeping covenants actually makes life easier. That's quote unquote. And I remember that it was, I guess, last Christmas time. It was earlier than that. I think it was Memorial Day. Okay. A little bit.
Big gap there, Kevin.
Yeah, a little bit more recent. But Shelby and I, you'll remember this, we were coming back from Lubbock, seeing my folks, and we were listening to Let Us All Press On, our favorite hymn.
We sing it to our little girl every night.
And in the third verse, it says, if we do what's right, we have no need to fear. And so I asked myself, as we were listening to that song, I asked myself in my mind, is that true? And then immediately, I was given an answer, yes, it is true. And then I was reminded of some reasons why. And it can be applied to this topic of, hey, if you follow the covenant path, if you follow the commandments, you'll be happy. Well, now to get my devil's advocate, like, is that true? And I think a lot of people, of the world, the secular world, would be very quick to argue, especially if they have a personal experience where they can say, hey, I'm happy and I don't live your religion. There are more people living on earth not in your religion than in your religion. So how does that make sense? Like, are the vast majority of people just miserable? And I'm laughing because I can hear some of you saying, like, yeah, a lot of people I know, especially people who don't have the gospel truth, are kind of miserable, right? And then people who don't adhere, but they know, they're kind of miserable too. I see them struggling, and not just struggling in the normal, hey, we all have trials kind of way, but like they've really stepped off the path somewhere. And they're really struggling with things in their personal lives and so on and so forth. But I digress. What I think of when I think of like this idea of how is it that we're happier when following Jesus Christ, when there are so many people who either A, have never heard the name Jesus Christ, or B, don't adhere strictly to our gospel and our commandments, right? And the short answer is the light of Christ, which is given to every creature. And that is a beautiful doctrine. It's a beautiful doctrine that a loving Heavenly Father endowed all of His children and all things that He created with the light of Christ, so that even if they don't have the covenant path detailed, you know, step by step for them, they do know what's right, and they know how to behave, and they know how to live a good life. And it all ties us back to the Savior.
And to add to the light of Christ, in the new version of Preach My Gospel, it says, this influence is preliminary to receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that is key to then making covenants through baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so ultimately, everyone is given the light of Christ in order to make covenants with their Father in heaven through His Son, Jesus Christ. So I love that.
Yeah, and that's incredible, because that means that everyone is being prepared in some way to come unto Him through the plan that He has set forth.
So, in the very last point of this talk, he says, how can keeping covenants with God make you happy? And he gives this analogy that I think is perfect to share, so I'm just going to read it really quick. He says, my wife says that our marriage yokes us together, and because of that, she can do things she couldn't do before. And I love this example he gives. He says, ever since she was young, she has had a hard time going out in the dark, but it is not hard anymore because I go with her. She is short and cannot reach to the high shelves unless she uses a chair or ladder, but I can reach the things from the high shelves for her because I am taller than her. Taking our Savior's yoke upon us is like that. As we yoke ourselves to Him, we can do things we couldn't do on our own because He can do the things we cannot do for ourselves. I just think that's beautiful. That's happiness right there, right? Aren't you frustrated when you can't reach something on the shelf? And then your husband comes up, or your wife, maybe your wife's taller than you, and she gets the thing that you need. You're happy. That person just helped you, right? Are you frustrated when you have to go in the dark alone? Here you go. Here's someone to help you. This help and assistance that is given creates that happiness as we heed to the covenants and the commandments. God is happy. Christ is happy. And so there's just this happiness all around. And I love that. Now, I do hear this little voice in my head saying, but what about like the bad things that happen when you are keeping the commandments, which is one of those questions that we get a lot. And that reminds me of a dear friend of mine. She lost her husband. I can't remember how many years ago, but it's been a few years. And she talked about this concept of peace and joy. And she says joy is hard for her to feel right now, but she can feel peace because after all these years and then not having a spouse. And she said this, I'm going to quote her. She says, "All I know is that I seek for peace and hope to feel joy again someday. Peace is something I have found in my relationship with Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ more fully than ever before in my life. But joy seems out of reach at this point in my grief process. Many have found it again, so I hang on to that possibility. I will be forever grateful for the reassuring peace I find with Christ and my Heavenly Father. It continually reminds me that all will be okay and that they are with me no matter what comes my way." And what I hear in that is her covenant relationship with the Savior brings her that peace. And one day, that joy will come so full and so full circle for her. And so, despite keeping commandments, things can happen that are sad, and it's okay to feel that. However, that peace can be given to you. And even if you don't feel like you can feel that joy, it will come again. And it will come because our Savior. And in the meantime, she's still one of the happiest people I know. And I can say that because of the peace that she feels from what she shared with me. And then I'll end with this, which goes hand in hand with the quote that I just shared and everything we've talked about today. "The reward for keeping covenants with God is heavenly power, power that strengthens us to withstand our trials, temptations, and heartaches better. The power eases our way. Those who live the higher laws of Jesus Christ have access to his higher power. If you want to be happy, just keep the commandments. That's all you got to do. And do it with faith."
Well, thanks for listening to another episode of the Conference Talk Podcast. This episode, we discussed Elder Yoon Han Choi's address, "Do You Want to Be Happy?"
If you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and everywhere you get your podcast. And you can also find links to our podcast platforms on our website, conferencetalk.org.
Conferencetalk.org is also where you can follow us on social media, drop us a comment, check out the show notes, find the resources we mentioned in the episodes, and learn more about us, your hosts.
If you want to follow me and Kevin, you can find us at The Book of Mormon Podcast on Instagram or Facebook.
And of course, our podcast, The Book of Mormon Podcast, can be found on most, if not all, the major platform that you use for podcasting.
But while we always appreciate new followers, it's better to follow the prophet and the apostles themselves.
Yep. Although we love speaking about the church and our leaders, we do not speak for them. Everything said on this podcast represents our own personal opinions.
Join us next week for some more personal opinions on the Conference Talk Podcast.